and the priory that it was attached to it were by far the richest ecclesiastical institutions in the country. So very, very important economically, socially, as well as in terms of religious orthodoxy. But the sub-prior, the deputy prior of the cathedral was a man called John Winram. And John Winram, who was involved in the trial and conviction of George Wishart, does appear to have had Protestant sympathies from a very early date. And he eventually, when the Reformation took place in 1559-60, converted to Protestantism, came out in favour of the new religion. But his boss, the prior of St Andrews, was actually one of the king's, James V's, bastard children, a man called James Stuart, who was known as the prior of St Andrews. He was given the title prior of St Andrews. He raked off the revenues, but he never actually performed any spiritual function. But because he was the prior and John Winram, who was sympathetic to Protestantism, was the sub-prior, it's perhaps not surprising that the priory and the cathedral didn't actually put up much opposition to the Reformation when it happened in 1559. The exception to this was, of course, the Archbishop. The Archbishop who succeeded David Beaton was a man called John Hamilton. And Hamilton was a very active Catholic reformer. And he also did a great deal for the fabric of St Andrews. The frontage of the castle, for example, that you see today is actually Hamilton's facade. He rebuilt it following the siege of the late 1540s. He also was responsible for refounding St Mary's College and founding it in a way that actually survived the Reformation. And he started the building work that would turn into St Mary's College as we know it today. If you're standing outside the St Mary's College, on the wall on your right, you'll see the coats of arms of various of its luminaries, including the great Protestant theologian who was principal of St Mary's, Samuel Rutherford. And as you go through the archway into the courtyard, you're passing under the biblical quotation, "In the beginning was the Word," in Principio Rat Verbum. It's often said that Mary Queen of Scots planted a tree in St Mary's quadrangle, and it's often assumed that it's the massive evergreen oak that dominates the courtyard. But in fact, it isn't. Queen Mary's tree is much more likely to be the little hawthorn on the right-hand side at one of the entrances into the old building of St Mary's. Though it's almost certainly not of a date that you could associate it with Mary Queen of Scots.